So we are in one last series for this year, and I think it's important that we focus in on dealing with the human condition in a very unique way. Because I don't know about anybody else, but there's something about the world we're living in right now that is making me think that there's a lot of folk that don't know what it is to be made in the image and likeness of God. So the series is simply titled Made. But this morning I want to talk about the product of a perfect blueprint. The product of a perfect blueprint. So let me lighten the mood, because I want to make sure that I still see some smiling faces. You know, let me start off by saying it this way, because it's actually going to go with all that I'm talking about. I promise you, y'all some beautiful looking people today. Look at that. See, look at that. Smiles break out. Look at that. We want the spirit to break out, but I want smiles to break out too. You know. Look. There's reasons to smile. Reasons to be who you are. Matter of fact, my grandmother will appreciate this, because I'm just going to go ahead and put it on the spot. She ain't even looking at what I'm talking about right now. She's probably the happiest person in here right now, because I look like what she would hope I look like all the time. A little bit, my grandfather, he never smiles. If he smiled at that boy, I'm trying to tell you. But honey, let me tell you something. When I woke up this morning and I put my clothes on, I stopped and I looked at myself in the mirror. And you know what I said to myself? Do you have any idea what I said to myself? Oh, I didn't just say I look good. I was like, that's a good looking black man right there. Right? And as a matter of fact, I was so hype about it. I tapped Marissa before I left. I said, she was still asleep. I tapped her. I said, hey, because, you know, as a husband, I can't go out of the house looking crazy. So I knew I looked good, but I just needed that. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, y'all got the right word. Look at y'all, the spirit confirmation. Woo! And she looked at me. She was. I said, "Hey. Just, I'm not gonna bother you, but I just need to see. Do I look all right?" She was like, "Mm-hmm." I said, "Now if I see you in the street, would you let me holler at you?" And she said, "Sure enough." So I was like, okay, I'm on my way. Now, the reason I'm trying to start off slightly light is because for me, this may not be your story. For me, it takes me a long time to just get to the fact that I'm really cool in my own skin. And part of that is involving the idea of trying to learn what does it really mean to be created in the image and likeness of God. We talk about it and we debate about it and we come up with a million things around it, but we don't always know what that really means or entails. Because I believe we have limited the creation question to just physical and tangible. So much so that we don't realize that what God really did was create humanity, not just as a tangible being, but to literally reflect who God is. Y'all with me? Okay, I don't think this series is going to be a whole lot of shouting. There may be shouting moments, but this ain't a whole lot of shouting. Because I want people, if I don't plan on going nowhere and I don't plan on closing my eyes no time soon, but if there's one thing I know God has impressed upon me for the rest of my life, is for people to understand that what God intended was a good thing. And that we ought to remind people that what God intended was a good thing. And what God created was a good thing and is a good thing. And that all we're trying to do in our journey is get back to the essence of what God intended. All right? Now think about this. God decided, let us, royal we, make humanity. Because when you start studying this, some people will say there are two creation accounts between the first chapter and the second chapter. And it's not necessarily that there are two accounts. It's just the one in chapter one is shortened. And the one in chapter two gives the details. Because you just got to read through the lines and read through the news. Let us make man, which is more humanity, in our image and after our likeness. God created man and breathed into him. Man came living soul. Gave humanity a responsibility. Take care of the earth I created. Have authority over said earth. Keep stuff that is in the earth in its place. Right? Y'all can tell me if I'm wrong, because y'all got your Bibles open and all that stuff. And I know y'all are students of the Bible and y'all can read. And I'm not going to insult your intelligence. Take care of what I am placing you over. Have dominion over it. And then after you understand that part, I want you to do this too. Be fruitful, multiply, and continue to do what I asked you to do. That's it. We're not into the sin discussion. We're not into any of those things. What we are dealing with is God's original intention for humanity. Humanity was supposed to be what? Governing all things that were created by God in the earth. To be like God, but in the earth. God's big enough to handle anything that God wants. Right? But God chose that I want somebody to be like me in this area over this thing, so I ain't got fooled with it. That was the intent. I don't know why that blows people's minds when I say it that way. Maybe because we have been so stuck in the minutiae of sin so long, we don't like going back to what the original design was about. We come from a perfect blueprint. I'm not trying to hype you. I'm not trying to do any of the whatever. I am telling you, we come from a perfect blueprint. Stuff has happened. Sin entered the world. Mess happened. But the truth is still this. We came from a perfect blueprint. That has not changed. Let me say it one more time so I make sure that when you walk out of here, that even if you were talking about something else, that somehow in a Freudian slip, you say this to yourself or to somebody. I came from a perfect blueprint. God did not have to change the design because it came strictly out of God. So because of that, God designed humanity uniquely and gave humanity unique ideas and understanding about how to deal with the things of the world. To deal with it as God would. So when you hear, I was created in the image and likeness of God, what you're really hearing is, I physically represent, and the essence of who I am comes from God. So it's not just a physically representative thing. It is about what is the essence of who God is. Creativity, love, peace, joy, all that. Intellect, all that comes from God. So when you begin to talk that way, make sure you understand how sacred that is. And you know how I know that people don't take that idea as being sacred? You know how I know this? I'm going to tell you how I know it. Ain't nothing deep to it. I did not do anything scientific to come up with this. You ready? The reason I know most people don't realize how sacred that is because of how we treat one another. We get mad over the most ridiculous stuff. I'm not talking about stuff that matters. I'm talking about just ridiculous stuff. Get mad at somebody because they stepped on your shoes or because they sit by you and you don't know how to articulate that in this moment you feel like an introvert and you need space. Ridiculous stuff. People get mad at the idea of helping folk. People get upset at the very nature and the idea of how to treat people, not according to their condition, but according to their basic humanity. People will drop stuff in your lap and tell you that this is what you're going to do, never considering whether or not it's something you need or not. People will call you all kinds of stuff because they are unwilling to get to know who you are. Will tell you that you are not able to do a thing because their limited view says your color, your gender, your whatever limits you to doing what God says. We talking real stuff. People have forgotten somewhere between creation and 2019 that the very nature of being a human being is a sacred thing. That your life actually matters. And it's because people have forgotten that when all of this got started, all God asked humanity to do was to be like God in the earth. And the worst part is, you know what the worst part of that is? Humanity got the playbook straight from God. When they got to walk around with God in the cool of the day and everything else. So humanity actually had the blueprint to execute it, coming straight from the source. And somehow we got it all messed up. And here we are trying to get it back. Now, even though we are saved, we're still trying to understand and grasp the depth of what God really did from the beginning. Because people are still saved and unsaved, trying to prove who they are and trying to prove how important they are by things and positions and arguments and all kind of stuff, when God simply said, all I ever asked you to do was to be like me and keep the environment in check. So, My goal is to help us begin the process of seeing how one, how sacred our existence is.
Amen.
Your existence is not sacred because you identify a piece of yourself according to something. Your existence is sacred because you were created in the image and the essence of God. My job as a pastor, as a preacher, as a teacher, is to make sure that you understand that there is nothing in this world that can change that fact, and that it is time for us to embrace the totality of what that fact means, so that all of us that are saved by grace can really truly begin to live life and life more abundantly. So you can really begin to look at yourself in the morning before anybody else looks at you and say, you know what? I'm a bad somebody. And I don't care what anybody got to say about it. God has already deemed me and earmarked me a bad somebody. So in order for us to do that and begin that process, and what that means, not just in your personal life, but what that means for the advancement of the kingdom, we got to start to embrace at least three elements from the blueprint. So there are three things from this blueprint of who God is that you and I need to begin to embrace. The first thing that you got to start to embrace is that you got to reclaim your God-given authority. You got to reclaim your God-given authority. You have to reclaim your God-given authority. Look at what God said. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And here it is. And let them, that them gives you indication that this first account is not just talking about Adam, but it's also talking about Eve. All right. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. What is God saying? I have created you to control and to keep in check your environment. I have created you and given you the authority to keep your environment in check. So that means that if I am connected to God as a believer, now we're transferring. So the beginning of humanity, the beginning of the world, God gave humanity what? The authority to control the environment, to oversee and place in order the things of the environment. We were disconnected because of sin. Jesus redeems us. We have access now to what? All power, because Jesus has all power, right? Which means that we also have access to the beginning and to the truth of what God established from the beginning. Where am I going? That means that the things that you deal with on a daily basis, there are some things that you can control. You ready for this? Some of us go home sometimes and someone asks us, how was your day? And you begin to talk about what other folk have done and how it annoyed you half to death and how you were so tired and wore out by what somebody said about you and about your mama and about everybody else, even though it ain't true. And the only person wore out from that is you.
Amen.
And you don't believe this all the time, but you do have an ability to control that narrative. I'm not saying you can control what people say. I'm not saying you can control what people do. I'm not saying you can do a whole lot of stuff in certain ways, but you can control how you respond to what's going on. I don't have to take on your mess. I ain't got to take it on. I love my peace too much to take on your nonsense. See, you see what just happened there? That is called what? Controlling the environment. If your stuff does not match up with what God has told me to do in this space and in this time, I ain't got to deal with it. If I deal with it, it's a choice. And guess what? With choices come consequences. So just because you're negative doesn't mean I have to all of a sudden be negative. Just because you want to say can't to everything doesn't mean that I got to believe you. Just because, you see where I'm going? Just because I'm around you and you want to try to tell me about how I ought to do a thing and you ain't God does not mean I got to entertain it. I will be able to sleep better at night when I turn some stuff off. That's called what? Taking authority over your environment. So people at work don't want to act right. That doesn't mean you stop doing your job. Just because God has made it and put it in you to be an entrepreneur or whatever does not mean that you got to take the financial advice of broke people that will try to tell you you got to do X, Y, and Z. God says you need to reclaim your ability to take what? Authority. You can't bring that stuff in my space. A matter of fact, with all that's happening in the world right now, it's going to require people that have the ability not to, you're not going to believe this, but to get to a place where you don't even take personally the yammerings of idiots. Apply that wherever you want. I ain't got to listen to a whole bunch of politicians try to tell me what to do and all this other kind of stuff, because I know at my core the things that I can control, God has given me what power and authority to control. That even when you're trying to impede upon my stuff, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Even when you're trying to tell me that this is how it ought to go and God said otherwise, I trust God over the words of folk that don't know the God that created me. Amen. Which leads to the second thing, which is you got to have perspective on your purpose. Got perspective when it comes to your purpose. So the purpose of humanity was this. In the beginning, the purpose of humanity was to do and function like God in the earth. Y'all caught that, right? The purpose of humanity was to function and to be like God just in the earth. That was it. You didn't see nothing about anything, any necessity for salvation, right? No, that was not the intent. The intent wasn't to be created so you can fall. So then all of a sudden you got to be redeemed. The intent of God, according to what we read, is you are to function like me, but in the earth. Keep stuff in check. Make things happen and make it function and run at its best and peak performance. That is all we were supposed to be doing. And in the process, continue to what? Be in conversation and in fellowship with God as we continue to learn how to advance things. That's it. See, you know, super saved folk don't like reading the Bible like this. because they'll keep on trying to, but where's salvation? There was no need at this point. Because everything God made was what? Good. It was not tainted. So there was no need. The only thing humanity was supposed to do, hang out with its creator and make sure that the earth ran smoothly. That's it. You know, some of us, we go to work every day, we do different things every day, and then there's something in us that always just rubs us raw. And it rubs us raw because we say to ourselves, should I even be doing any of this? And you begin to ask questions and go through all of that. You know what that irritation is? Usually that type of irritation is an indicator that maybe you need to reinvestigate what your purpose is. Now, don't get me wrong. Because I've been here and I've done this. I worked and I did what I needed to do. So, you know, I kept doing what I needed to do because I had obligations. I had things I had to take care of. I did whatever it needed to be done. But every time I was doing that, I was still being rubbed raw because it was not specific to my purpose. What's the thing that makes you get up in the morning? What's the thing that drives you? What's the thing that causes you to get up out of your sleep in the middle of the night and write? What's the thing that causes you not to even begin to be settled until whatever God has placed in you about it is either on paper or in action? That, ladies and gentlemen, is purpose. Purpose causes you to get up and do stuff that nobody could even pay you for. And even if they tried to, it wouldn't even make a difference because you would do it for free. Purpose is something that is a part of you that allows you to do and to function at your best self. Everybody's not flowing in their purpose. That's why you're cranky half the day. Because your purpose is irritating you and you ain't listening. Because what you're doing right now is not what you wake up for. You waking up for something to just have another opportunity to do something for the kingdom of God, and you want to do it so bad you can taste it, but you're almost in a conflict because you don't know how is that going to work. Can I share something with you? Even if you are not fulfilling the totality of your purpose, God still wants you to find a way to inject your purpose into what you do. I was working in call centers. I didn't realize this until it hit me today. I'm working in call centers, talking to people on the phone about one call center. I was doing stuff for Airbnb, so I was talking to folk about first world problems, their reservations and all that kind of stuff. First world problems. Then I moved on to a different call center where I was talking to people about real world problems, their health care, and trying to make sure that they could find stuff. But somewhere in there, God always opened up some kind of door that I never expected to just be a blessing to somebody. I remember one particular person when I was working at Molina. This person is known throughout every call center. But here's the reason why. She didn't have any issues with her coverage. She was just so lonely that from time to time, all she would do is call into the call center to hear somebody's voice. And usually, I would be the one to get her on the line. And my conversation with her would turn into a 35 to 45 minute call about just family, her kids, her grandkids. She even asked about my kid and my wife and all that kind of stuff. And she would end the call like this. I want you to know that I'm always praying for you and every person in that call center. My purpose is to do my best to be around people. My purpose is to do my best to help people and empower people the best way possible with the gifts and call that God has given me. I did not know that at a certain point, after dealing with people that will, they will go on every extreme from cussing you out to being nice to you when you do help them no matter what, that somebody will come along on a regular basis and call into a call center and they're going through their own loneliness. And you can be a blessing to somebody by just listening and hearing them out. Every now and then, God will give you openings to what? Inject some of your purpose so that you don't run around and look crazy as if you ain't got nothing to do. God will give you opportunity and the moments to be able to say to yourself, you know what? This ain't all that I'm about. There is more for me to do. And then God will even push you to the point where he said, now take a look. Where is your opportunity? That's why the church ought to be the one place that everybody ought to be able to come, because no matter what you think, there is always an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody's life. And there's always an opportunity for God to use what is in you to be a blessing somewhere. But you need to what? Change your view. You ain't always got to do it in here to be effective. The perspective is, God created me to have dominion and control over the environment and to make sure that the things around me run at its best and optimal level. So in order for me to be at my best and others to be at their best, I have to still function in the purpose that God has placed in my life. But then it leads to the last thing and I'm through. From this perfect blueprint, you gotta recognize the capacity that you possess to replicate this process. Prove the point. Okay, here we go. God has said to humanity, this is what I want you to do, right? There's something about God always blessing stuff and then doing more. So that motif always, that after God blesses, it all of a sudden multiplies, right? How does verse 28 start? God blessed them, gave them purpose, gave them all they needed. But then God blessed them and then said after he blessed them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. So he started the process over. Don't miss this part. What God is doing here, he blessed them to be productive, to reproduce. And that which would be reproduced would now be a part of the same mandate that was on them. I told you to do this, but now I'm telling you also, be fruitful and give birth to, so that then you have more that will be able to do what? The same thing. I'm not breaking the cycle. I'm adding to it so that it's what? More productive. That is working at its what? Complete best. That the process would what? Continue. Because as things grow, you need what? More people to work. Churches don't die because of methods alone. Church fellowships don't die because of methods or lack of creativity in methods alone. That's not the only reason, okay? I know we bring it up because it's a major thing, but that's not the only reason. You know why church fellowships die? Because they stop giving birth. And I'm not talking about natural. Churches stop giving birth to generations that can replicate the process. When we stop giving birth, it takes away the opportunity to see growth and advancement. How does birth happen in a church? First, you ought to be excited about something. And if you're excited about something, it ought to bubble up in you that you want to what? Tell somebody. And then somebody catches hold of that excitement and it what? It grows. Right? But let's be basic. Birthing happens when I'm excited about who God is. And if I ain't excited about God, I ain't gonna tell nobody a thing. You see how I took the pressure off the church? Because sometimes we start off with the organization and we forget about the one that brought us together. If I ain't excited about what God can do, what makes you think I'm gonna tell somebody anyway? But when, let's throw it, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, right? And all that he has done for me, that what do we always say? My soul cries out, hallelujah, right? That's what we say. But do we really believe that? Because if I really think about how good God has been to me, I don't just wait for the hallelujah. I want to tell somebody about what God has really done in my life. I ain't gonna wait to come up with an idea and a method to let folk know about how good God is. When I know something's good, I don't wait until an advertising campaign to tell you about it. I tell you myself. Right? If I eat something, today is a unique day. In the world of fast food. Today is. Because you know what just came back, right? That Popeye's chicken sandwich. Everybody been waiting. Looking like they're gonna, oh God, here it is. I'm going to get all up in that line and wait, and we're going to go ahead and bankrupt them by getting every chicken sandwich we can get. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the reason that Popeye's sold out of chicken sandwiches wasn't because they advertised it. It was because of what? Word of mouth. The reason that folk have come to Jesus is not because of an advertising campaign. It's because somebody told somebody. And then when somebody told somebody, eventually they ran into the Lord and what? Found out for themselves. It still works. If you want to see something happen, you got to know that you have the capacity to go around and let folk know about the goodness, the graciousness, the kindness, and the power of God. Not just what happens at Wesley Church of Hope. It's about who God is. So, when I think about what God started, when God made me, he made me a bad somebody. The world tried to tell me different, but now I can't even begin to entertain their thoughts. Because the way they thought about me was absolutely wrong. I'm not just speaking for myself, I'm speaking for you too. I want you to get this into you as well. When God made me, you know, say it to yourself. When God made me, he made a bad somebody. I'm intelligent. I'm smart. I'm gifted. I have talent. I got skills. I have, you know, I can do whatever I can put my mind to. You know, and with all that package, God gave me a purpose that I can't even begin to deny. I can't get around it. I can't go above it. I can't go around it. Nobody can tell me different. I got something that I got to do. But you know what makes it so great? God has actually given me the capacity to be able to what? Do more. That even when I think I can't, God reminds me, yes, I can. Because I can do what? All things. When you walk out of here today, don't you dare walk out of here with the mentality that God has not made you somebody. God has made you somebody. Don't walk out of here with the mentality that says that I'm tired of people saying that I can and I can't. Well, guess what? You ain't got to entertain it because God has already told you, you are that deal. And that your life is sacred because you were created in the image and the essence of God.